The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
The documents that you submit for job applications, it really will make or break successful employment. According to a recent study by First Advantage, a global background screening firm, one in three job applications in Singapore contain discrepancies. It also shows that we have the highest rate of job application discrepancies in the entire Asia-Pacific region. This is scary for me. According to data released yesterday, job vacancies dropped for the first time in 2 years, with retrenchments rising in the first quarter of this year when compared to the previous quarter. Economists, of course, believe that the latest news marks a turn in the employment cycle, with the labour market in Singapore turning softer and softer. What does this mean if you are trying to submit a new job application? Is it harder to make an attractive job application, or a job application attractive because job vacancies are less while applicant discrepancies are high? More importantly, what kind of financial impact does hiring someone with application discrepancies have on your company? Helping me out this morning in the studio, two lovely guests. The first one is Sheeta Banthropatyai, Head of Assessment Solutions in Southeast Asia, Aeon. Sheeta, good morning.
Good morning, Elliot.
Joining her is Elizabeth Fitzel, Managing Director, Asia-Pacific at Sterling Risk. Elizabeth, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, thank you very much for joining me. Let's talk about applying for a job to start things off. Really, what's the most attractive thing to look out for in a job application? Elizabeth?
I'm delighted you said to look out for. First step is clear, uncluttered layout. And please use your spell check.
Sometimes people turn that off and they don't realize. Sheeta, what about you? What's the most attractive thing to look out for in a job application?
Well, I have a slightly different point of view, because while the resumes can seem to get the applicant their dream jobs, the organization is looking for more.
Okay.
And they are continuously trying to make sure that they are assessing people through the entire recruitment process and validating their selection by the end of it. And because that, there's a huge risk to hiring somebody wrong for the role.
Of course, it's a risk of morale. It's a risk of financial implications as well. We talked about attractive thing to look out for, but attractive thing and most important thing to look out for can be totally different. Elizabeth, what's the most important thing then as an employer I should look out for in this CV or resume?
Job hopping.
Mm.
When you move careers, there seems to be no consistency in your resume if you move careers. Reasons for leaving are a huge issue. So for us, basically, it's to always own your reason for leaving. Right. Even if there has been an acrimonious leaving or an acrimonious departure, for the candidate to own that, to say, you know, I hadn't got the skills then, and my manager and I decided that I wasn't right for that role, but I've learned from it. It's all about owning your own story.
Accountability.
Yes.
In that sense.
Owning your own story.
Could you help me out with this job hopping? Sometimes I think I fall into that bracket, but really, what do you consider job hopping in terms of length between jobs?
That would very much depend on the level that you're at in your role.
Sure.
If I'm looking at a mid-manager or a senior manager who is moving roles every 2 years, what I'm saying is, hasn't achieved, moved before, basically, one can see their achievements.
Okay.
If I'm looking at somebody who is newer in their career, what I'm looking for is growth. Now, where that growth is, that growth can be within one company, and the fact they've actually moved roles, they're not doing the same thing, okay? That, to me, is super. Or if the person's move seemed to have some form of a strategic line, an objective.
So Elizabeth has pointed out a very interesting roadmap where your career is concerned. Sheeta, I'd like to get your point of view. What's the most important thing you look out for when you're looking at a resume?
Let me boil it down to only one thing, and that would probably be the real evidence of the outcome that one has delivered. So if one is able to articulate effectively what has been the accountability that one was owning and what has been the results that they have delivered, that becomes critical.
Okay.
And that is a true reflection of three things. One, the technical ability of the person that they can deliver on the job. Two, their alignment to the behavioral needs of the role that they have done.
Mm-hmm.
And three, whether there was the right motivation or the cultural fitment in the job that they were doing. And, you know, that's a true reflection of their dedication to the job.
Let's turn our attention a bit to the innovation aspect of screening for applicants. It could go right or it could go very wrong. Some companies use automated screening processes, and these processes sift through written applications looking out for keywords. In today's day and age, how does that affect new job applicants?
There are two things I'd like to mention over here. One is, yes, we do see a widespread leverage of tech and AI in the screening of job applications, especially things like smart bots or applicant tracking systems, which are able to do this. What does it mean for the applicant? The applicant should not fear it. The applicant should actually see it as an unbiased way of screening out people.
Okay.
Because the algorithm behind this selection process does not take care of any human emotion. It pretty much is devoid of any human emotion. And it is able to very objectively screen the right person who is available for the job.
So I came from an era where in school, when we were crafting our resumes for the first time, it was always about how you sell yourself, how you write this introduction very beautifully. Elizabeth, turning an attention to you, I suppose this really enforces your point earlier on, a very clean and straightforward resume.
Interesting. There are two aspects to that sell thing.
Okay.
So the first sell thing, obviously, is the clarity. Get me the truth. Quantify. If you can tell me what you've achieved and quantify, super.
Sure.
But the sell thing, that really leads into the risk that companies have. Okay. Because we're all told is, you know, fake it till you make it. Sell yourself, okay? Let's put your best foot forward. That can often lead to very costly hiring decisions.
In fact, if I can add to what she said, I think one always should remember that this is not the end of the game. It is just the beginning, because the organization is actually going to put multiple steps between this resume and the actual application or the offer that they are going to make. And they are going to make sure that they continuously validate it through assessments, through interviews, through different kind of technical capability checks and things like that.
When you apply for a job, obviously there is an HR background check. Could you share with us, ladies, some of the common red flags that is specifically looked out for when looking at an application?
Firstly, when looking at the application, is the red flags you would be looking for, again, are the job hops, the gaps with unusual reasons between roles. Of course, when one moves at the application stage, when one moves to the screening, that becomes a very different level of analysis.
Okay.
And what one is looking at is, depending on the risk of the role, the candidate's qualifications, do they actually have those credentials that will enable them to perform competently with their employment history? Have they actually worked where they said they worked? Have they achieved what they said they'd achieve? Again, to enable them to do their job and also to grow the company. That would be the employment and the education, the credentials.
Sure.
And the second part will be the integrity part is, does that candidate have anything in their background? Criminal directorships that may conflict with the company's interests. So I suppose the red flags are very dependent on the stage of the application. The first part of the application from a resume reading are basically, I suppose, quite surface level, unless the company decide to do more assessments. And then basically as one progresses to the other part of the screening part is, it becomes deeper.
Ishita, so it's like whatever you put on paper versus if you're actually able to do it in terms of your education, what are some other red flags that pop out for you?
Some of the red flags are definitely around the technical capabilities.
Sure.
So like Elizabeth pointed out, it's about doing that reassuring technical assessment to see whether they are actually able to deliver on it, basically validating what they've written in the resume. On the cultural fitment piece, and I'd like to take Elizabeth's point about that, why did the person leave the job? We are trying to address that because we don't want that motivation of leaving the job to surface again and again in future jobs.
Okay.
So that motivation element becomes very critical, and it manifests itself in the job hops, in the alignment issues with the culture of the organization. So we check for motivation quite a bit.
Everyone's always got push and pull factors when it comes to leaving a job. I know we're talking about entering a new job, But if, let's say, a person is at the point of leaving or wanting to leave because of, say, a push factor and not a pull factor, what is your advice to HR, human resource generally? You talked about motivation for leaving. Would you say that should be intervened at the point of you know, before that person wants to leave?
Definitely.
Okay.
I think some of the engagement analysis of the people, some of the interviews before they leave, that needs to be addressed, because as an organization, they need to understand, is it a one-person issue or is it across the entire suite of people? And they need to, the HR folks need to actually tap on that and try to address it immediately.
So once you know this person is unhappy in his job or his role, what can be done? How can we how can we alter the career path? Singapore has the highest rate of job application discrepancies in Asia Pacific. Honestly, it's the first time I'm seeing this and I'm quite shocked about it. Elizabeth, what's your take on this and why do you think this is so? Are we so pressured that we need to sort of lie our way through?
I mean, that's a really good point. It's the reality is, I think that in Singapore, it's a highly competitive environment and there is an intense pressure to be the very best. Rather than to be your best.
Okay.
And I think that there is intense pressure on people. It's almost fake it till you make it. And we see that time and time again where we have enrollments in education become graduations. So I've enrolled in a course, but all of a sudden I've graduated, or I may have deferred it.
Oh my goodness.
Or I had a three-month break, maybe because I needed a three-month break for me, but literally it won't look good on my resume, so I extend that. Or a job didn't work out for me.
Sure.
So I decide to omit it because I can't be seen to have failed. When in actual fact, isn't it true the failures that we learn?
Just to add on to that, and I'd really love to get your thoughts on this as well. Say a person is having trouble getting a new job, wants to get into a new industry, and there's this whole trend of, I'll do contract work for a while. The contract, after 6 months, you realize, this is not for me. Kind of looks bad on your resume, but Ishita, your thoughts? If you were to be honest about it and say, I took a 6-month contract, I wanted to try it out, it didn't really work out for me, and now I'm trying to find that fit for myself.
I'd probably say that it's better to stay authentic.
Okay.
And be true to yourself, because even if you think that you're compromising after a year, after the contract closes, and you're still trying it out, you're probably being unfair to yourself. Because you've already realized that it's not working out, and you're trying to keep yourself up and motivated about it. But it's eventually going to drop. And it's two ways. It's your loss, and you can't put it in your resume later on. And for the organization, it's a huge cost, because they feel that they are investing in you, and then after a time, you're off. So what do we do?
Better to say, I tried it out for 6 months. It's not for me, but I picked up a couple of skills along the way.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like upgrading, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're talking about these job discrepancies. Have either of you encountered a situation where someone has lied, but for some reason, perhaps even got the job for a while, it was all uncovered? How have you dealt with these scenarios? Have you ever encountered a situation where someone kind of lied in your resume?
Personally, in our own company, no, because we pre-screen.
Okay.
However, on behalf of some clients, unbelievable stories of literally candidates who have started before their employment has been verified, have constructed, you know, employment certificates, even when the verification came back that literally the candidate then didn't work there, but the candidate was asked to leave. So the candidate would deny it. And then the company is in this really uncomfortable situation of literally having somebody in their business they don't want in their business and then trying to exit them. And apart from the cost of that to literally the company's sustainability, it's also the morale issue of everybody around them. And I don't think you can really quantify that, but it's huge.
It is. And it can last for quite a while as well. It's better and most difficult to cut your losses in that sense. We've been talking a lot about financial implications of hiring someone with job discrepancies. What is this financial cost that we talk about? Is it possible to even put a number on it? What are some areas that add up to this financial cost? Ishita?
it's possible to put a number because one of our Aon studies that we've conducted for Southeast Asia, which is called the Talent Acquisition Study, we have actually seen that a cost of a bad hire, specifically at senior levels, it goes up to almost six times the value of the role. Because think about it, it is the entire time that you spend on getting this critical person on board. And when the person leaves, they abandon at least a three-year strategic plan and everything has to be restarted. So even in terms of notional cost, it has a huge impact on the organization and it becomes sort of a setback, up to six times the cost of the company.
Would you agree with that, Elizabeth?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, let's wrap it up with something positive. Do you have any advice or recommendations for anyone who's looking to apply for a new job right now?
I think the first thing is to remember at every job you do to be your best.
Okay.
I have recruited from Starbucks. I've recruited from Apple counter stores, from people who have wowed me. I think to attend job fairs, I think it's a really nice idea to create an impression. Either collect the contacts and say, Elliot, it's been fantastic meeting you. Create an impression, or even bring a little name card and give it to people and say, this is me, I'm looking for a job, I'm keen, I'm eager. Social media is key. LinkedIn, use your LinkedIn profile well. Recruiters look at that. And attract a resume and then a thank you after every interaction.
Oh, basic
thank
manners.
You. I know.
Yeah, of course. Ishita, your thoughts?
I think, Elizabeth, you've covered most of the key things over here. I'll probably spend a little bit on the attitude that one needs to bring on the table.
Okay.
And I would say three things. Times are changing. Organizations are looking for something new in the digital space as well. And what we've observed is these three things. People who demonstrate more learnability, eager to learn new things and ready to let go of their old learnings easily. Curiosity, eager to look out, like you said, networking, understanding more about the industry. Definitely that works. And finally, agility.
Mm-hmm.
So learnability, curiosity, agility, that should be the mantra with which one goes for a job application.
The hardest thing to do before all of that is to unlearn everything you've learned.
Yes.
In the studio with me this morning has been Ishita Banthopadhyay, Head of Assessment Solutions in Southeast Asia at Aon, as well as Elizabeth Fitzel, Managing Director, Asia Pacific at Sterling Risk. Ladies, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.